So this week, we're going to be continuing the series on our new home. Our new home. And I'll begin by painting the picture in case those of you have not heard it or you forgot. But you've just moved into the new home, and boxes are still there. There's garbage everywhere. You're trying to figure out what's going to be the layout. The bedroom that you thought was going to be yours, now your stubborn 7-year-old says it's going to be their bedroom, so you're having to move stuff around. You know, the table isn't set up. And as the weeks have went on, you know, stuff has gotten unpacked, and we've made the house more settled. We're slowly making the house ours. We are slowly making the house our home. And throughout this unpacking period between, you know, having to work and carry on with normal life but making the house normal, every now and then we come together at night to have a meeting. Okay, let's talk about our family. In our new home, what are we going to start now to begin a whole new life, a whole new legacy? Our first week we talked about the new you, how in our new home, in our new sanctuary, as we've had the remodel and everything, what better time than to start something new? Start casting vision for what we want new life to be like. Our first week, we started talking about the new you. In our new home, we each have the responsibility on our own to live the life that God wants us to live, the new you. In our second week, which was last week, we talked about our new family, where as stuff has slowly gotten unpacked, now we have time for the family to be together. And I was talking about how the New Life family, these people in here are the most important people that you guys have in your life, is your church family. Is your church family. And I think of how true is that when we hear of these people that are in the hospital and sick. It's where the family comes in. Not just simply offering prayers, but offering our hands to help. Offering a loving hand, offering our prayers. This week, in our new home, as the house has gotten a little bit more settled in, as I feel like we're starting to figure it out, the lights are seeming to work a little bit better now, the sound system seems to be working a little bit better, technology's getting better in the back. Now it's time to start talking about the new home and specifically the new community. We're going to be in the book of Acts today. I'm going to begin in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. While in college, I had a missionary teacher, pastor, phenomenal guy. He has been to some of the most dangerous places in the world it is to be a Christian. And this is his go-to verse. This is his go-to verse. And similar, when it says, go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth, it's kind of similar for us. When it says to start with your Jerusalem, you could say that you yourself are your Jerusalem. You got to start with yourself. Then you could say that Judea is your church family, where once you start working on yourself, now you can start loving and working on the family, our church family. And then when we go to Samaria and the ends of the earth, that is the community that we find ourselves in as New Life Church. I'll have to say that any pastor in the world, whether they're part of the biggest church in the world or a church where it's just the pastor waiting for his first member to come in, any pastor would say the same thing, that they would be absolutely jealous of the location that you guys are in. You guys are smack dab right in the middle of the high school and the middle school. You're at a central location where traffic is always passing here, even for people that aren't in school. You guys literally have the future generation of Flushing in your grasps. And my question to us this morning is, what's New Life going to do about it? Is New Life going to bring new life to Flushing? Or are we just going to simply be people that come into a building? I know last week I maybe raised some eyebrows, or 2 weeks ago, where I said the gospel's like peanut butter and jelly. It's meant to be spread. We have the gospel message. We should be spreading it into Flushing. I want you guys to think. Think if New Life got involved in the schools. Let's simplify it. Let's say you get involved with the students. Or let's simplify it even more. Let's say all of us help one student. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe they come from a more poverty-stricken home, so they don't have money to even pack food or buy food. So the church sponsors the student. The student doesn't have any money to get any of the school supplies that are needed, to get that cool backpack, to get good shoes. So the church sponsors him or her. So we start impacting the student's life, but then all of a sudden, as the student's coming home, the student has a lot of chipper in him or gusto in him. He's happy, he's excited because he feels like he fits in. He's being provided for at the school. And all of a sudden, his family starts to be impacted. And though the church is still only touching one student, because of the change that has happened to the student, his demeanor being changed, his life being changed, the family starts to change. I'm not saying that the family necessarily comes to Jesus, but they start to see, well, there's something different. Maybe as time goes on, the family starts to come to Jesus because the church has had such a profound impact on one student. And so you know what happens? The family deciding to not only just receive, but also give as they receive. They decide, you know what? Let's bless a teacher. So they bless a teacher, and you know what? They decide to pick the meanest teacher in the high school. I would ask for maybe recommendations of who I can name, but I probably shouldn't do that from you guys that went to Flushing, though I'm sure you have some people in mind. But let's say that family decides, you know what? Just as some church named New Life has blessed our kid, and in that blessing has brought life to our family, maybe we should try blessing this teacher that no student likes, that's the crabbiest of all crabs when it comes to teachers, and they decide to bless her. And they say, hey, is there any supplies that you could use in the classroom? Well, actually, yeah. And over time, New Life, or the family starts to help this teacher out, and she starts to change. And let's say this teacher changes so much that all of a sudden, every single class that she has at the rotation of every hour starts to notice something. You know, no longer are they using maybe not so pleasant names for her behind her back. Rather, she's like, wow, this teacher, this guy or girl has gotten much nicer. And now all of a sudden this teacher, because they've been blessed from a family that was originally blessed because their child was being blessed because of a church, this teacher decides, you know what, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to start pouring into the lives of these students, not just simply putting up words or numbers on a little whiteboard. And so all of a sudden, these groups of 20 to 30 students are now leaving the classroom filled with something, filled with joy. And even better, what if this teacher comes to know Jesus because the student came to know Jesus because of the church, and then the family came to know Jesus because of the student, and then the teacher became to know Jesus because of the family? And even though schools don't allow you to, people are getting something. Teachers are getting something. The students are getting something. They don't know what it is, but it's like something inside. I think we call it the Holy Spirit starting to do some little mechanic work on the heart and the mind. But you know what happens is, you know, as each teacher has their different organization or their different groups of students, you got the cool kids. Unfortunately, you have what high school deems as the lame kids, you have the band kids, you have the jocks, you have the nerds, you have a whole slew of different types of students. And as they leave the classroom, they start impacting their friends that they are part of. And now all of a sudden, you have a whole student body that's being changed because you guys decided to help one student. Guess what happens after that? The students start to impact their teachers. The students start to go back to their families and impacting their families. The families and students that work at the local businesses start to impact local businesses. And then what happens is you have a whole county, a whole township that loves Jesus. Slowly. They might not all love Jesus right away, but there's a life to it. Our new home, the new community. If we go back to this idea, I think of one of my professors from college, they built their home, and they were so excited to get their home finished because the first thing that they were going to do was start inviting a different family every week to have over for dinner. not necessarily to shove Jesus down their throats, but just to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So that when people leave, like I talked about last week, people will notice that there is life in this house because they have something different. The gospel is meant to be spread. If we truly believe that the gospel is the good news, that there is eternity in heaven and hell, then this should even furthermore provoke us to be active in the community, in our case, Flushing. If you guys leave somewhere, whether it be a place or a conversation with a person, and someone can't come behind you and notice that there is an implant of Jesus' work happening, then there's a problem. There's a song by, what's the old Toby Mac group? Is it DC Talk? I think they have their song, Jesus Freaks. We need to be Jesus Freaks. Our new home, the new community. See, this is what I want us to understand. First, it starts out with living it out on our own, and then it starts with living it out with each other, and then after that, all we have left to do is just live it out. Spread the gospel. Have an impact in the community. So what happens when the church is active in the community? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. I know I read some of this last week, but it fits the sermon, so we're going to read it again, and the Bible's the Bible, and it's good to read these verses again, because I want us to understand that if we just simply be a church that is active in the community, that's bringing new life to Flushing, incredible things will happen. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, we see the example of a church being active in the community. Starting in verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they had no sound system. It must have been a Pastor Denny-esque preacher. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. This isn't socialism. This is Christianity. Day by day, continuing with one in mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day with those who are being saved. Church, if we are active in the community of Flushing, people are added to the church family. It's hard sometimes for a pastor to say what they want to say, but I'm not the pastor here, so I can say it. We need people. We need people in here. And no, it's not to fill an ego for anyone that's speaking. It's not to go to someone else that attends another church, but how many people you got at your church? Oh, obviously you guys aren't churchy enough. What it means is it's more people having a relationship with Jesus. And what it means too is now we have more people, the family grows. The family grows and things change. Church, if we become active in the Flushing community, lives will be changed. People will be added because they will see, why is this church being so kind? Why is this church helping out so much? It's like they're being the hands and feet of someone, that someone being Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, it shows that if the church, which we're all filled with the Holy Spirit, if we believe in Jesus, we see what happens in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. If the church is active in the community, it says, therefore, starting in verse 4, therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, and they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Imagine how much of an uproar and Flushing there would be if some church on the corner named New Life said, hey, we're going to have a prayer service. Come and we're going to believe that you're going to be healed. Imagine if people were healed of major diseases, of cancer, of physical limitations. Healed of depression or healed of just emotional terror and stress. When the church is active in the community, they care for people's needs, physical needs, but they also care for their spiritual needs. In Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, before I begin with this, this is the section talking about Saul, who eventually became named Paul. And if you don't know the story of Saul, Saul was a mean dude. He killed Christians, he hated Christians. When the church is active in the community, even the most militant and angriest of people against the church and Christianity can change. Might be a little hard, but it can happen. Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 22 says this, starting in verse 19. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All those hearing him continued to be amazed, and they were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on the name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. I think we could extend that even as far as to the political spectrum. Imagine how wonky it would be if you have a person that has been so against Christian values and Christianity, all of a sudden be talking about Christian values. Maybe because their kid is in Flushing High School and for some reason some church decided to bless them. Church, when we're active in the community, we can literally change the economic situation of Flushing. We can change the spiritual and emotional situation of Flushing. And we can even change the hardest of hearts with the help of the Holy Spirit who is inside of us as we do what God wants us to do. But this also happens because, unfortunately, no matter how well you can know the scriptures, no matter how much you pray and intercede that the Holy Spirit would go before you when speaking to people, sometimes people just have a hardened heart. Some people get angry. But it's interesting because out of that anger, sometimes it can result in other people being attracted to what is making people angry. In this case, in Acts chapter 19, verses 23 through 29, we see what happens that when Christianity comes into a major city, the city of Ephesus, where they had a lot of pagan gods, so all these silversmiths were crafting these silver and gold and bronze images of false gods. But because Jesus was being brought into the city, because a church was being active in the community, all these people were leaving these false religions and were worshiping God. So therefore, all these people that were making these image of fake gods were losing business. And we see in verse 23 of chapter 19, it says this. At about that time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way being the gospel happening in the city. Verse 24, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis was a Greek god, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar trade and said, "Men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Not only is there danger that this trade of ours will fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis would be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence." When they heard this, they were filled with rage. They began crying out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Verse 29. The city was filled with confusion, and they rushed in with one accord into the theater, dragging away Gaius and some other dude, I can't say, Paul's traveling companions. For those of you that don't know about Artemis, the Temple of Artemis is considered an ancient wonder of the world. The temple is beautiful. It is magnificent. It'd put any church to shame. that boasts an intense architecture of huge marble pillars, all for a fake god. And there is something to be said, you know, if you go to the churches in France or in Germany, there's something about the building that makes people curious. Why would someone build such an ornate structure? And the hope is that, just like when Solomon built the temple, people would see that we are building something to at least just show that God is deserving of our best craft. And here you had a temple that was probably the most beautiful thing of the world at that time. But some guy named Saul was telling people about some dude named Jesus that died on the cross. And now all of a sudden the weekly attendance of this fake church was decreasing, and now people were worshiping someone named Jesus. When the church is active in the community, things can change. I'm obviously not saying the hope of Flushing falls on your shoulders. That'd be too much weight to bear. Thankfully, we have many other churches in the area. But if one church can start having an impact, you guys could literally help change the economic situation. I'm not saying by donating money, but I'm saying by helping. Offering wisdom on how to manage finances, or offering people part-time jobs or whatever. Or simply being giving. You guys can literally help be the hands and feet in Jesus and show that the power of the Holy Spirit is a very real thing and that it can heal broken things. If the church is active in the community, you can change the hardest of hearts. And there will be some people that get mad and angry, but because people will get mad and angry for a church doing good stuff, other people will be attracted to the church. For my last semester at Bible College, I studied the book of 1 Timothy. I had to read the book 7 times every week. And I will say, if you guys ever want to study a book, do that, and you will see so many incredible things. Now, 1 Timothy was a letter written to a guy by the name of Timothy, and Timothy found himself in the church of Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus. The city of Ephesus is what maybe us would call today New York. The city of Ephesus was huge. It was right on the water, so it had shipping that it was constantly sending in and out. It was the place to go. I just was at a wedding yesterday. If they needed a honeymoon destination, Ephesus would be the place to go. On a camel's back. But you see, in Scripture, I don't know exactly what this church looked like, but typically what types of churches you had in Scripture were house churches. They met in the homes. And so Paul, as he was writing this letter to 1 Timothy, he's talking about all these other things. Hey, you guys should do this in the church. You guys should do this in the church. This should be the type of leadership that you guys have. But it all falls on this one basic idea. You guys need to impact the city of Ephesus. You guys need to be active in the community. You guys need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I want you guys to know that this building, technically speaking, according to what Scripture says, is not a church. I want you guys to hear me. If you read the original language, which was Greek, which the New Testament was written in, church is used as the word ecclesia. Ecclesia means gathering of people. You guys are the church. And it falls on us as believers in God to spread the gospel. You guys have a fantastic building. Candace and I's home church has a fantastic building. There are churches that blow my mind. I mean, they're just modern feats, just ornate architecture. It doesn't matter how pretty we build a building if the members inside aren't doing anything to reach the community. If these buildings were supposed to be the things that attracted people, then we're doing something wrong. I don't know what architectural design we need to start bringing people in. But that's not why. New Life, if the building is what brought people in, if the new renovations are what brought people in, then where are people? Hundreds and thousands of cars drive by here every school year, looking at the church, because we all know, in case you don't know, how clogged it gets right there. They have time to look around. They have time to see a church. And there's no motivation to come. Same thing when people pass Trinity, our home church. Traffic can get condensed and they can see a church, a bigger church, but, oh, cool, that's a church. It's what church people do. I don't need that. But think of how different it would be if that one student's family who's driving their jalopy is sitting there shaking as their car's trying to stay alive, waiting for traffic to go, but they look over and see this church. You're like, you know what? It's been a couple months, and this church has been faithful to helping our son, our daughter. Maybe we should check it out. Or maybe as that story goes on that I was telling you guys, maybe that teacher has changed. You know what? Maybe I should check out the church. New Life, if we're active in the community, we can see things change. And yes, it'd be nice to have a church grow because it brings money in and it helps fund things in the church. But just from the sense of a spiritual standpoint, it just lifts your spirits when you see a room packed full of people that all love Jesus. It's powerful. We need a healthy foundation. We need to all be living a life that Jesus wants us to live. But you have to have good pillars and good walls and a good roof. That's where the having a great family comes in. It's then after that where we need to grow the church. It's time to put people in it. I tell Candace right now that I'm 80% joking about wanting kids right now, and she replies, but you're 20% for real. Guys, it's time to grow the family. We've moved back into our new home. It's time to grow the family. It's time to grow the family and bring new life into Flushing. So what can you guys do? I have a couple examples. I think of a man by the name of Bryce who's 22 years old, who grew up in Charlotte, where he came up with this basic idea of what can I do to impact the city of Charlotte? Charlotte is by Lansing. And he came up with this idea called Love Charlotte, which it would be a basic idea where everyone in the community would just try to love Charlotte. There'd be a bunch of cheap car washes going on. There'd be different clubs and churches or organizations that are putting together food baskets for people that are struggling. There's lawn care businesses that offer their services for free that day and take care of some landscaping that has needed some landscaping for a while. And somehow, somewhere in that, trying to tell people about Jesus, but taking care of their needs at the same time. And now it is something that the city of Charlotte throws on every year because they realize that there is life in that. Or you can be like Joanne, who is a teacher at a high school, and she loves on the other teachers. She stays in contact with the pastor in the church of her home church and says, what can I get any money or something to help bless her, the school's teachers with some supplies or just cookies? And it is something that happens all the time, and the teachers have grown to love and appreciate the church. And though they may not come, they really appreciate it. I think of Alec, a young studly man who started a gym, a workout fitness class, which is where you will never find Pastor Denny or myself at. But if he did, if we happened to go there, we would definitely leave hearing about Jesus some way, somehow. He's taking care of people's physical needs, but slipping in a little bit of Jesus there. I think of Cindy, who does nothing special, but just picks up two or three people every single Sunday to take them to church. Or I think of Renee, who as her car breaks down or something crazy or wonky happens requiring the help of someone else, she finds a way just to bring up Jesus. She finds a way to pray for people. Or I think of Dan, a new believer struggling with alcoholism. And this cracks me up. Even though he's a new believer at a church, he's invited so many people. More than the people that really love Jesus and at least have their lives together a little bit more. And you want to know why? It's because people see Dan, who they know as an alcoholic, and they're like, if something can change this man, there must be something. Similar if New Life maybe decided to bless the teachers. If this teacher can change, then there's obviously something going on. Hallelujah. I'll end with this. A couple final thoughts. And Cindy, or Lisa, I'm sorry, if you could be so kind, maybe just put on a little bit of that cool piano music, because it makes what I'm saying more impactful, apparently. Before anything, before we can live the life on our own for God, before we can be the church family that God wants us to be, and before we can be the church that God wants us to be in the community, we need to pray for God's heart. We can do some of this stuff on our own. We can bless a student. We can bless teachers. We can bless missionaries. We can feel sympathy for people, even in the church, that are struggling with things. But without God's heart, it will never bother us the way it bothers God. We need to have God's heart, because without it, we will never reach our fullest potential in being able to do what God wants us to do. If we have God's heart, all of a sudden when we see what's happening in politics or in culture or in economics, we're no longer provoked to just some humanly anger or sadness, but we are provoked to a godly anger and a godly sadness that is wanting us to move forward and do something to change what's going on. When we have God's heart, we see things that happen to people that are in our lives and we are provoked to do something. We are provoked to a slight heartache. We are provoked to action. Church, if we have God's heart, seeing one empty pew spot angers us, but it excites us, because you start thinking of different ideas of who can I invite? Who can I invite to bring here so that way they can have new life? Who can I bring here so that way they can meet Denny, meet Brandon, meet Dan? You meet someone like, man, if I could get them to church, they'd be best buds with this person. Man, if I could get to this church, if I could get this person to this church, they'd be such a blessing. They'd be such a help. This world needs Jesus. It doesn't matter how evil people can be. It doesn't matter how mean people can be. It doesn't matter how put together people seem that they ought to be. Everyone needs Jesus. But without God's heart, we'll never understand why. And I say that this morning, saying I don't fully realize. There's times I hear of traumatic things happening and I don't bat an eye. You know, I kind of am just like, oh, there's a bunch of crazy high schoolers, whatever. It doesn't bother me as it bothers God. As one generation goes, another comes, not being on fire for Jesus. I want to close us in prayer. I want to close us in prayer for a couple things, and then after I close us in prayer, you guys are free to leave. And I'll say this just because I know it sometimes is a thought that I have. Don't think you're less spiritual for leaving service. That's okay. But the altars are going to be open. I'll be praying for you guys. Pastor Denny and Jenny, I could ask, please, if you guys could also pray for people. I want to pray for a couple things. I want to pray for those of us that maybe feel challenged, or maybe even convicted for not being active in the community of Flushing, or maybe wherever you guys live, whether it be Montrose or Clio or something. Or if some of you have maybe never accepted Jesus into your life, but maybe in kind of hearing about why we're trying to spread Jesus, you kind of see, I want this Jesus. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. And then just even on top of that, as we talked about this morning, there are some health issues going on with people. Or there's just some things going on in all of our lives that we just need a little bit of Jesus to intervene in. I want to pray for that too. I want to close us in prayer. And then if you guys have any needs, please come up. I want to pray for you. I want other people to pray for you. I want new life to start happening. I want new life to start happening in this church. I want new life to start happening in the community of Flushing. They need the handprint of Jesus in them. The Flushing needs Jesus' handprint. And do you guys want to be the one that does it?